December 11th through the 17th, 1977, in Cleveland, Ohio, The Born Again Messages with Brother Titus Chu. Message 4.
All the riches the brother fellowship with us are given to you in the moment you repented. In the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never realize how wonderful that moment was. To you, your thought would be so simple. At that moment, you repented, and because you repented, therefore, you will not go to the hell, but you will go to the heaven. But you never realize it is not a matter of heaven and hell. These are just something as a supplement, as an extra. The real thing is the very life of God. Amen. You must see, brothers and sisters, that the born again issues in at least the three major things. First, the born again, or your born again experience, issues in the very life of God. And secondly, the born again issues in a new position. And thirdly, the born-again experience issues in the necessity of a new living. Don't look down at the moment that you repented, you called on the name of the Lord. That short moment when you begin to pray something, say something to the Lord, when you begin to call on His name. Hallelujah. In that moment, a lot happened. You know, brothers and sisters, just what we covered tonight by these brothers. You know, if every point you get into it, they need a lot of time to expound on its riches, because they all are so rich and so marvelous. Now, you realize, first, when you were born again, you received another life. Am I right? Then what is that life? That life contains at least 9 things. Am I right? Now, can we all try to say this together? How about that? And first, that life is a very God Himself, the life of God, okay? And secondly, it is a new heart. And thirdly, it is a new spirit. And fourthly, is the light of life. And fifthly, the law of life. And sixthly, it's a seal. And the seventhly, it's an earnest. And the eighthly, is anointing. And ninthly, is a life-giving spirit. You can only touch life by applying your spirit. Do you know, brother? God is very, very objective, theoretical, and untouchable. Do you agree with me? It's very God. It is hard for you to know where God is. Have you ever seen God? No, neither do I. Am I right? Anyone here ever seen God? Please stand up and tell us you have saw Him. Sure, like to find out if He looks like a Chinese or American or He's from Africa. I tell you, God is not seeable with your eye of flesh. But God can be experienced in spirit. Why? Because in essence, the spirit is a life-giving spirit. When you have the spirit, you receive life. The spirit has one function. That is to issue life into you. Whenever you apply your spirit, the spirit begins to operate. The more the spirit operates, the more you begin to partake of the riches of life. You know, let me see, huh? You know, some of you, let me see, huh? For instance, I like to ask you, you know, are you saved? Yeah, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you sure? You're very sure. Let me ask you, how could the triune God come into you? how can the triune God come into you? Do you know, once you are saying, God come into you? Yeah, how could he come into you? Don't you know? Oh, I tell you, he's very big, right? He's so big that he created the whole universe, right? And he gave a testimony. He said, the heaven is my seat, and the earth is my footstool. What a big God. So big that his top part is in the heavens and his leg stretch all the way to the earth. And earth is just his footstool. And that big God, where is he today? Today, he's not only in the heavens sitting there using the earth at his footstool, also he's in you. Do you know he's in you? Are you sure? Oh, you are quite bold, sister. I tell you, not many sisters dare say he's in him, her. How about you, brother? Let me ask you, do you know God is in you? Are you sure? How about you? I believe you are brother. Are you? Yeah. Is God in you? How about you? Are you a Christian? Praise the Lord. Is God in you? Are you sure? You see, I tell you, I think my friend, your name, brother, Howard, I believe Howard's very honest. It is hard to believe. How could God be in me? But of course, sister, please, don't offend it. I don't mean you lie. But surely I realize, to all of us, for us to say, God is in me. Oh, sometimes you would stop a little bit. Is that real? It is easy for you to say, where is God? God is in me. Are you sure? I don't like to say he's not in me. Neither do I like to say he is in me. According to the Bible, he's in me. According to my mind, he should not be in me. He's too big. The whole heaven is just big enough to be a bench for him. And the whole earth is just big enough to be his footstool. Such a great creator, where is he now? Here. And that is hard to believe. And even, I would also ask you, have you ever seen him? You know, the doctor did a lot of operations. I've never seen any doctor operate out a God. If God is in you, when you have so much heart surgery, lung surgery, quad surgery, this surgery, that surgery, God must have to jump out. But we never have seen anyone who has been operated and in operation, the very God jump out of the person. Then how can you say God is in you? That is not right. That is not logic. And that is not scientific. And that is not modern. And that is absolutely is mysterious and is something that you fool people believe into. But you know, sometimes I also think it's peculiar. The doctor operated so many people. Never have I seen the love jump out. Do you love your wife? And you are not married yet, right? But do you love your parents? You must love somebody, right? But I believe, suppose, I hope you'll never have it, but it may happen one day, if a doctor would have an operation on you, I don't believe we cut in, poof, something jump out. Look at it. It's a big love. Could you believe in that? Could you believe that one day a doctor was operating a person or heart surgery, when doctor opened it up, something jump out, it's crystal clear and shining and sparkling, and you examine every part of composed of love. Then I would ask you, is love in you? Do you have love? Little girl, do you love somebody? What is love? How can you say love is in you? I never saw it. And I tell you, all the doctors, all the medical doctors, especially Cleveland Clinic, which is most famous on the heart surgery on the whole earth. Am I right? That's the best heart surgery place. So their doctors there must have opened a lot of hearts. And even may have changed some heart, but they never changed love. Suppose one put another heart in, the love changed. That's serious. Am I right? But they never changed love. Then I tell you, do you really have love? Do you really have love? I never solace. You love? Love him? Does he really love you?
Yes.
Do you really love somebody in your heart?
Yes.
It's hard. It's hard for me to believe. I tell you, this man must be a dummy. He must be uneducated. He must be not modern. Don't you know, modern people, everything has to be scientifically proved. And we have so much open heart surgery, we never found love. Therefore, it proves we don't have love. Who is that? You have to tell the doctors, doctors, if that is true, you better divorce your wife first. Right? If you say, open the heart, there's no love, therefore, human beings has no love, then why should you marry your wife? And why should you raise up your kids? There must be something wrong mentally about you. You need a mental surgery where you are giving somebody else a heart surgery. Actually, the same thing with the spirit. The same thing. You think God will be so big. How could this God ever come into you? It's right. And then, if God really come into you, how come nobody ever found him? No one ever found. They all talk, testified by somebody. One by one testified. I've got in me, I've got in me, I've got in me. But you ship all these people to Cleveland Clinic, give everybody heart surgery, there will be no God, Jiang Pao. But it's the same, there will be no love, Jiang Pao. Does that prove there's no love? Surely not. Then does that prove God is not in you? Surely not. Hallelujah. God is in us. Can be testified just as love is in us. Mm-hmm. Then you say, I don't say, I don't see, I don't touch, I don't realize, and I never experience. That's so bad. You better experience now. You never experience it? Do you like to experience it now? You say, oh, I don't believe in this. This is not scientific. Then I ask you, what is scientific? When everybody tell you, we love our parents, we love our wife, we love our children, you say, this is scientific. Then we also tell you, we have God in us, we love our God, and God is our life, and God is spirit moving in us. Why don't you believe? Why you only believe I love my wife, and you don't believe God is in me? The same mouth telling you two things. Why one thing must be true, and another thing must be a lie? Do you know? Friends, you know, God is really in you. Do you know that, brother? God is really in you. The only thing I like to ask is this. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Do you really believe that he is your Savior? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe that Christ died on the cross? Do you believe the blood Christ shed is for you and cleanse you from all your sin? Oh, Lord Jesus. Now let's go step by step. Otherwise, what are you going to do with your sin? I'm a sinner. Right? According to the Bible, it is very simple. If the blood is not shed, the sin will not be forgiven. The sin can only be forgiven by the shedding of the blood. You know, I was in Argentina. A young man, a young friend there, a brother, he took us to eat the lamb, which I never had before. So I walk into that. That was a very expensive place, very fancy. The first thing you see is on both ends, they have all the lamb baked. Or they say that. Maybe the bake is not a good word. Roasted. Beside the fire. And I look at the lamb, it's surprising. Everyone lamb was just like somebody hanging on the cross. I'm very surprised that the Bible, even in the Old Testament, tell us the lamb will redeem us. Then when Jesus comes, John the Baptist declared, behold, the Lamb of God, which carry away the sin of men. And that lamb was on the cross, roasted for 6 hours. Right? 3 hours by man, 3 hours by God. And then his blood was shed to do what? Just to cleanse us from our sin. Do you believe, brother? Do you believe? Yes? Hallelujah. Now, do you believe even harder. I'm sorry, I'm hard on you. Do you believe he's more than dead? He's also resurrected. Hallelujah. Okay, now, I can assure you, this moment, you can experience how God come into you. I can assure you, if there anyone that who's not sure, would you please stand up? I'd like to pray with you. I want this moment, even at this moment, I want to make sure God come into you. How about you, brother? Do you then pray with me a little bit? Fine. Come on, Phil, please. Now, come. Let's have some prayer. Very simple, right? We just trust. Even this moment, Christ can come into us to be our reality. Okay, brother. Amen. Just close your eyes. Please, we all close our eyes. Pray for our brother. Oh, Lord Jesus. Please follow me. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I thank you.
You are the Son of God.
But you come down.
To be my Savior.
Lord Jesus,
I am a sinner.
But you are the Savior.
I have a lot of sins.
But your blood
cleanse me
from all my sins.
Lord Jesus,
now I open my heart.
I pray unto you.
I pray unto you.
Come into me.
Come into me.
Come into me.
Come into me.
Jesus.
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 Come into me.
Come into me.
To be my Savior.
To be my Savior.
I want to be saved.
I want to be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am saved. I am saved.
I am saved.
Amen. I pray. I pray. I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Is Christ in you now? Have you touched something? Really touched something? Brother, I assure you, because I touched it for you. I know Christ coming for you. When you pray, you realize. Am I right? You feel something different. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How about you? Sister, could I pray with you? Or with you? Fine, sister. Come on. Amen, sister. Your name?
Cassie.
Cassie. You believe in the Lord already. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have been looking for you for years.
I have been looking for you for years.
Tonight.
I want to meet you.
I want you to come into me.
I want you to come into me.
I want to realize you as my Savior.
I want to realize you as my Savior.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I don't want you to be objective anymore.
I don't want you to be objective anymore.
I want a subjective Christ.
I want a subjective Christ.
Come into me.
Come into me.
Lord Jesus.
I open my heart.
Come into me.
Save me.
Abide in me.
Be
my anointing.
Seal me.
Let me have the foretaste.
Let me have the foretaste
of the riches of yourself.
Lord.
Lord Jesus, I'm thankful.
I'm thankful,
Lord.
Even now.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy. Hallelujah! I'm so happy! Amen! Hallelujah, sister! Amen. Are you happy?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see? Thank you. It's good. Amen. Now, can you pray with me? Amen. 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 You know somebody else here? Just her, huh? Oh, not here. Who? That's enough. That's good. Okay. We have some prayer together, huh? Amen. Your name? Tien. Okay. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I have heard a lot about you. and many times I believe in you. But now, tonight, Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to come into me. I want your blood to cleanse me from all the past. And from today on, I pray for a new life. I have Christ in my spirit, subjectively, for me to enjoy. Lord Jesus, I worship you. You are a Savior, not only for so many people, but also for me. For me. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you are for me. Oh, hallelujah. You are for me. I'm happy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is it good? It's good? Amen. That's good. Any more? Any more? If you believe in the Lord, that's wonderful. But you do need to realize, born again, the first thing is issues the life into you. If you don't have the life, it's not real. Even though you say, I believe in the Lord, but you will still be limited. Only when you are willing and say, Lord, I want the life coming to me. And this life will be so rich. Then, brothers, you're born again, it's substantial, it's realized. So now I'd like to ask a few more. Any more? How about you? That's good, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you. I really love you. For many days, I have been searching for you. But tonight, I confront something. I realize the past is not enough. I need a new beginning. I need you to come into me. I need to be with his brothers. I need to be with his brothers. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful. I'm not coming here for a sermon. I'm here touching yourself. You are the living Christ.
You are the living Christ.
You are the life giver.
You are the life giver.
You can come into me.
Come into me.
You are my life.
You are my life.
You are my joy.
You are my joy.
You are my redeemer.
You are my redeemer.
I confess you, Lord.
I confess you, Lord.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Is it good? Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Life is good.
Amen.
Yes, sister. Amen. Amen. Brother, would you come with us? Amen. 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 Do you believe in the Lord already? Amen. I pray with her first. Okay. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I've heard that you are so wonderful.
I've heard that you are so wonderful.
I've heard you are sweet.
I've heard you are sweet.
But within me,
this is not real.
Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
tonight I come to you.
Tonight I come to
I
you.
Want to realize this.
I want to realize
I want to tell you,
I want to tell
if
you,
many Christians, they can testify how wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
You must be so wonderful to me.
You must be
I open my heart.
I open my heart.
I open my spirit.
I open my spirit.
Lord Jesus,
come into me.
Come into me.
Come
and anoint me.
Come and refresh me.
Come and be my enjoyment.
Come and be my enjoyment.
Lord Jesus, my life is yours.
My being is yours.
My family is yours.
Lord Jesus,
because you are so wonderful.
I'm willing to give myself to you.
Take me, Lord.
Take me, Lord.
Take me, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
I consecrate myself. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You want to pray?
Amen. 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 Could we still close our eyes and pray with our brother? Lord Jesus, I come to you. I'm very thankful. You have chosen me. You are my Lord. You want me to be your son. Lord Jesus, now I come. I open my heart.
I am yours.
You come into me. You are my Savior.
You are my Redeemer.
You are my Lord.
Lord
Jesus,
I am yours.
Lord Jesus, come into me. I'm open. I'm widely open. I want to forget everything. Now, I want to take you in.
Come in, Lord.
Come in, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You answered me. Even now, I do sense you are here. I realize you. Not outwardly, but in my spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the life. This is the life. Born again, first. First, issues in the new life. Anyone more? Please don't force yourself. But you see, you have the hunger. It's your turn. Okay. Praise the Lord. I think I met you, right? Okay, that's okay then. Amen. Now, could you all close your eyes? Would you close your eyes? I see one sentence you follow me. Oh, Lord Jesus, you love me. I'm sent you. Even now, for I am young. But you want to save me. Lord, tonight, I open my heart. I pray. Please be my Savior. Please come into my heart. Please save me. Please bring me all my life until I see you. Lord Jesus, don't let my future be wasted. Every year, I want to love you. I want to love you. From the very beginning, Lord, take me as your lover. I love you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Now you see the flowing of life. The flowing of life are all substantiated in spirit. You watch, right? Right when we touch our spirit, we begin to touch something. The moment we touch our spirit, we begin to realize the reality. Hallelujah. Now, we come to the second point. Born again issues in a new position. Now, this is a hard and long message. I am even reluctant. Should I give all this to you? But now, could you just take your pen? Just take it down, especially you brothers who are with me in daytime. Where were we before we were born again? There are 8 points according to the Bible. First, we are in darkness. We never realize there is God. We never realize we are sinners. We never realize that in this universe, there is a divine nature for us to partake. We are in darkness. And secondly, we are under the power of Satan. People like to think they are themselves. Brothers, let me tell you honestly, no one is themselves. Everyone is either in the kingdom of heaven or in the kingdom of Satan. If you are a Christian, you are with the Lord. If you're not a believer, then I'm sorry. Your master is just Satan. You know, one thing. You know, I don't like to abide here, but I'm sorry, I'm forced. I travel a lot. One thing was peculiar. All the simple things, wherever you are, they are the same. I went to Europe, they all are the same. From Vatican, which was supposed to be the holiest place, to Rome, then to Germany, then to England, to Austria, they all are just as evil as the same. Then you come to the United States, East Coast, and West Coast, and North, and South, they're the same. Then you go to South America, you go to Brazil and Argentina, you find out they're just the same. Then you think the Oriental people are more conservative. I tell you, that is 100% wrong. You go to Japan, there's hardly many places more evil than Tokyo. Then you go to Seoul, you know, the city in Korea, it is evil city. Then you go to Taipei, it is evil city. Then you go to Hong Kong, it is an evil city. I tell you, the more you travel, the more you have the realization, the whole earth is right in the kingdom of Satan. Every human being is under the control of the power of Satan. Not only formally we were in darkness, also we were in the power of Satan. This is Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And thirdly, we were in sin. We were, our life is just in sin. Even to a place, we have no feeling. If you don't believe, you talk with your friends who are not saved. They cheat, they think it's right. Am I right? They are what? Crook. Right? They have all kind of ways, take advantage of things, they have no feeling. They abide in sin. Their life is in sin. And they don't realize that is simple. These were where we, our former place. This is Romans 3:23 and 5:21. And fourthly, we are under judgment. This place, I need you to turn your Bible. Please turn Romans 3:19, just the last part. Romans 3:19, just the last part. Could we all read it together? I know some of you are kind of tired. Romans 3:19, the second part, just the last part. Any brother read it, please.
And all the world may become guilty before God.
Yeah, all the world may become guilty. That is not the right translation. If you go to the Greek, huh? I'm sorry. Pardon? Ricardo, how did you say? Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, 3:19, the last part, last sentence.
Every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become subject to the judgment of God.
You see? All the world may become subject to the judgment of God. You know, you are under darkness. You are under the power of Satan. You are in sin. You think it doesn't matter. But God would say, it matters. God would say, I will not let it go. I have not created human beings to be so fallen. I have not created human beings to be so simple. Therefore, every mouth, every person is under the subject to the what? The judgment of God. I tell you, our position was awful. We were in darkness. We were under the power of Satan. We were in sin. And we were under the judgment of God. And more than this, we were condemned. This is Romans 5:18. We're just under condemnation. Right? And more than that, we were in death. This is Romans 5:12. What does it mean by in death? That is to say, people live on this earth without much feeling. I tell you, Americans may not realize this too much. If you have time, brother, you know, when you're getting a few years later, you could go take a trip to Hong Kong. That was a place you see all the cops work on the street, walk on the street. You never see any place has more cops, bodies, dead bodies, walk on the street than Hong Kong. But I tell you, American is about the same. It's just comparative less. Why you feel more cops there?
because that was a comparatively small island. I believe it is much, 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 much smaller than Cleveland. Maybe just equal to the city of Cleveland, the size. It's a very small city. And the population is booming, 5-6 million people. You never see, you never can imagine one building, one apartment building, 10,000 people living there. And I was in that. Therefore, I knew. I was in that. I saw one building after another building after another building. Every building, there was 10,000 people living in that building. Could you believe in that? And I tell you, the whole street was filled with restaurant and restaurant and restaurant and restaurant and restaurant. Why? And people couldn't cook so much at home. Every place was tight. They all eat. And they go to restaurant, they wait. You know what I mean? You walk in there, you stand there, wait. Because a table will be used, a square table may be used by 4 customers at the same time. Everything was crowded. Okay? This is not so bad. It's just a lot of body. But you never know, they're dead. How do you know they're dead? None of them know what they're doing. They don't talk about the future. They don't talk about it. They are right in the border of communist China. And England made it very clear to communists, you want Hong Kong, please don't fight. Let me know, I'll give it to you. Am I right? And their water supply, their vegetable supply, their meat supply, all from mainland China. Mainland China, all what they have to do is one thing, they cut off the border, the whole thing's open. So the people there realize the hopeless of the future. They realize no matter how you make money, no matter how you are prosperous, no matter how much you can build up, you never know what's going to happen 10 years later. Today, then what? Do your best, enjoy. And you know, everybody walk on the street with a $100 Hong Kong bill. I didn't bring with me. I haven't thought of people message like this. This red. Why? Because every place you will meet a red guy. Exit. No, what do you mean? Excerpt, you know, left, depart from mainland China. Exit from mainland China. These were trained by communists. They're rebellious. They're fighters. They don't care about anything. Anytime, there could be a knife just over you. And very simple. Either you give him something red, or he lets your red come out. He said, if I don't cut you, no red come out, then I will be unlucky. Second time. So everyone from Hong Kong, they all bring $100 red Hong Kong dollar. It's $100, it's a red bill in their pocket. When they see it, they never fight. That's yours. Let me go, please. The girls hardly walk on the street beside a very crowded place. Hard dare to walk on the street at night. And one day a brother, he was coming home because he told me a story, and all of a sudden a very little guy come. And just put a knife. Give me a watch. The brother had a very good watch, somewhat like a London or something. They take the watch and give it to him. And that man was so small that he can take him. He can take him, shoot him around just like this. You know? But he gave it to him and told him, you know I'm a Christian, that I tell you, I can give you the watch, but you better come to the meeting. Then he gave him the meeting address. He says, you know, our church meeting is over here at this address. Would you please come every Sunday, every Saturday? You know, they're just like friends. And he preached gospel to him, and he took the watch away. You walk over there. You have a wonderful reason. You have a peculiar feeling. What are these people doing? What is the purpose of their living in this place? So many millions of people crowded over some small place. 10,000 people in one building. And that building is not really that big. You go to Cleveland downtown, it's much bigger than that. You know, the downtown, there's high-rise apartment view for low income, close by Tri-C. They are much bigger than the building I have seen over Hong Kong, the 10,000 people building. Everybody have a small room, and you know what they do? Every morning they go out, they went to the restaurant, they eat the morning tea, and then they eat, their tea time is important for the Hong Kong needs. You know, they have the morning tea time, then they have the meal outside. Their life is awful. Sometimes you were there, I was there quite a few times. I was just wondering, what are these people doing? What will be their future? What is their concern? What are they living for?
And the peculiar thing, they never talk about it. When sometimes I talk with some friends over Hong Kong, I say, well, don't you worry about the future, don't talk about it. Then, don't you worry about communists, don't talk about it. The thing is, they don't talk about why they think if I avoid it, I will have no peace. You know, friends, brothers, have you realized, before we were saved, we were all like this. Everybody is a cult. I was, 25 years ago, I was cult people, right? Walking around, never know what I'm doing, never know where I will be, never know where I will be end up. I was just walking around, I think, from what, primary school to junior high, from junior high to senior high, but hallelujah, until one day, I got saved. Then I was made alive. I began to realize, wow, the years I had before I was saved, I was just dead. I have no feeling. I have no feeling. I never realized what. And I tell you, we even boast where I was in school. Who can do more naughty things? Who can give more problems to the teachers? Who can make the teachers, who can give teachers a headache, right? And in the family, we do our best cheat our parents. Right? Then you ask, why are you doing all this? I don't know. I just want to do it. Why? Let me tell you. Because we're in darkness, because we're in the power of Satan, because we're in sin, and because we were in death. Right. Nothing with us has any meaning. And more than that, we are condemned. And then, seventhly, we were slaves to uncleanness and iniquity. That is Romans 6:19. Who are we? We were just slaves. Slaves of what? Slaves of iniquity. Now, when you read the Bible, please put a note. The English translation is a servant. And in Greek, that word servant should be slaves. Who are we? We were slaves of iniquity. We know that something may not be so right. Once in a while, something will rise up into us. That could be something more. But for some reason, we can't get away from it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Could you believe? I tell you a testimony. You know, for your sake. You know, Elaine was here. And where I was in a 12-year-old. Elaine, I was in one place. Elaine was in another place. She came home. She came back from my grandfather and mother's side. You know, come back to our place, to my father's place. And on the way, my mother took her, they met communists. And the communists took my mother, and took her, and took one of our servants with them, just captured. Right, of course, later, my mother can't walk so fast. So my mother told the communists, you just kill me, I can't walk anymore. So they look at the lady and say, okay, now, you go home. So my mother was released. But that servant was a young man. And as a faithful servant, therefore, he hold on Elaine in a tight way, you know, in her back. She was very little. I think just three, four year old. You know, she hold this girl in her bed and just keep on following communists. Then the communist called her, threw her away. That means called him, threw the baby away. It's three language. What do you care about her for? The servant says, you can kill me, I won't throw her away. But, you know, my mother came home first after she was released. Of course, she was crying to my grandfather and told my grandfather, you must give me back my daughter because you are the one get me to come here to visit you and not. Because everybody has a lot of funny reasons that just proves where we were before we were saved. Am I right? And then I got a long distance call that she was lost. You know what I did? The first thing I heard, I didn't tell anybody. I went back to my room. I closed the door, I kneeled down, and I prayed. I said, Jesus, if you bring her back, I will believe in you. And I mean that. And I don't know who Jesus was, really, not at all. But I know there's Jesus. So I prayed, Jesus, if you bring her back, I will believe in you. And that's peculiar. You know, the communists, they were really tough people. They had the mercy on the servant. They really should just grab her down and throw her away. Come with me. They need soldiers. This is an ex-soldier, right? But for some reason, the communists had mercy on them and just let servants carry her back. So the second or third day, we got a phone call again, she was released. But after she was released, I was a slave of iniquity. I have thought of Jesus. Right? You see, when the things happened, the first thing to me was, Jesus, I didn't pray to Satan. I didn't say, Satan, please get her back. I'll believe in you. I don't. Because I know who's righteous. I know who's the Savior. Even when I was a young boy, even I never heard about the gospel, still within me, I know what is right. The peculiar thing is, I know what is right, but I was a slave of iniquity. I have no way to go to what is right. It was peculiar. Could you believe in this? I never heard the gospel. I don't know who Jesus was. I don't know. I didn't know he was a male or female. Even when I got saved, I didn't know. Right? I never got into it. Right? Yet the first reaction was, I went to the Lord, I knelt down and prayed. I said, Jesus, I didn't know how to belong to you. I said, Jesus, if you bring her back, I will believe in you. We all were slaves of iniquity and uncleanness. We were slaves. We had no way to get out of it. We know it. We make our mind. We want to change. We pray. Have you had this experience? Not pray. We repent, make up our mind. You know what I mean? I was too awful. I did this a few times. Not many times, but a few times. To my mother, to my parents. I'm sorry. I got a flunk. I'll be a good student next semester. But the problem is, when next semester comes, I can only be good for 1 week. The second week, I forget I should be a good student. I forget all this. Why? Because I was a slave. I know what is right. I realize maybe I ought to do a certain thing. But I have no ability. I have no way. I have no strength to get into that. We are just slaves. We were just slaves of uncleanness. We were just slaves of iniquity. Many times I look at my school record. I feel very shameful. I tell you, after I love my Lord, I look at my school record. Always I'm proud. But before I was saved, every time I look at it, I just feel off from the first grade. Why? Because I got into first grade while I was barely 4 years old. So I was the youngest in the whole school, and my older brother was in the same class as me. So if I take a red report card home, average C, that means everything for the 60 points, average D, you know, barely passed. My father would say, you know, oh, good boy, you are so little, you can do a good job. If my brother brought home average B, oh, he get real mad, he's spanking me. Why don't you get A? So I was all the time a bad student. All the time. Brother, you'll never believe, you know, when I was in high school, I was even formally, Lord cover me, I'm quite shameful to say this, how do you say that? Cast out from school. Expelled. I didn't know this. I just got a letter. You are expelled. Well, don't argue. If you are wonderful, they won't expire you. There must be something wrong. Am I right? But I tell you, after expelled, I was smart. I'm glad I got a letter. So nobody see it. I got a letter. I say I'm expelled. I turn away. I told my father, that school too poor. I will not go there anymore. I'm going to go to good school. And my father said, oh, my good son, you are so wonderful. You see, we are just the slave of iniquities all right. Until, praise the Lord, we begin to love the Lord. Hallelujah. Once we begin to love the Lord, once we are born again, we begin to follow the Lord, everything is different. I always think I was so stupid. You know what I mean? No use. Hallelujah. One day I got saved, I found out I was no longer a slave of iniquity. Something was cleared up within me. I began to realize, well, it's clear. Many things are clear. In life, why? The darkness is gone. The power of Satan is gone. The sin is gone. You know what I mean? The judgment is gone. The condemnation is gone. All this were gone. Oh, hallelujah. Within us, a lot of drop. Then some new things began to rise up. That is the very God himself. Rise up to be our wisdom, to be our righteousness. Not only outwardly, even objectively, even subjectively. Hallelujah. Now, more than that, one more point. We were just the children of disobedience and wrath. This must be, I forget the verse, I didn't write down the verse here. It must be in Ephesians chapter 2. It should be maybe in verse 2 or 3. You can put a question mark. Who are we? We are just children of wrath and children of disobedience. We were born with disobedient, I don't know how to say that, disobedient palate or something. Is that English? Do you know what I'm talking about? We were born with a disobedientality. It's not a peculiar English, but do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is, we're just disobedient. We're just like this. We don't even care. The mom says, why? Why can't I do it? Then the teacher says, your behavior says, why? We were born disobedient. Not only to men, more to God. Whenever people talk with us about there is a God, you get mad. And I tell you, Jesus has never offended you. Jesus has never borrowed money from you. But whenever you talk, people talk about Jesus, say, where is Jesus? Why are you so mad about Jesus? Why? I tell you, it's peculiar. You try. You go to the street, you try to talk with people about Buddha. The Buddha, oh, that's great. Philosophical. He said, Jesus, don't talk to me as Jesus. You see, they were born with this disobedient character. And they were what? They were just the children of wrath. Praise the Lord. These were the eight positions we were in. Where we were in darkness. We were in the power of Satan. We were in sin. We were in death. We were under judgment. We were under condemnation. We were what? In a slave of uncleanness and iniquity. And also we were children of wrath, of disobedience. But praise the Lord. Now, born again issues in a new position. All these eight things is gone. You know, we don't have time to see the positive things now. But at least we can say we are no longer in darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Could you say hallelujah with me?
Hallelujah.
We are no longer in darkness.
Hallelujah.
We are no longer in the power of Satan.
Hallelujah.
We are no longer in sin.
Hallelujah.
What? We are no longer in what? We are no longer under judgment.
Hallelujah.
Right? We are no longer under condemnation.
Hallelujah.
You should be excited. She said, Hallelujah. I don't know how excited you are, but if I begin to get into these things, surely I am excited.
Amen.
Formerly, who am I? A poor sinner, right?
Yeah.
In darkness, under condemnation, under judgment, in the power of Satan, a slave of iniquity, and what? A chosen of disobedience. But now, I'm changed.
Amen.
Darkness, get out of here.
Amen.
Satan, get out of here.
Amen.
Sin,
Amen.
Get out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Iniquity, get out of here. Hallelujah. Judgment,
yes.
Condemnation,
yes.
What? Disobedience,
yes.
Get out of here. Even the rest,
get out of here.
Hallelujah. Why? Why we can be so happy?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know why? Sister, do you know why? Because our position changed. We are born again. Have you been born again? Hallelujah. We are born again.
Amen.
Our position changed.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Oh, surely we have to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Could we just have two, three brothers praise the Lord for us?
Amen.